Hello from Ascender. My name is Ash, and I'd like to welcome you to our first podcast. Today, I'll be joined by Andrew Wilson, CEO at Ascender, and our very special guest, Sheila Fitzpatrick, the worldwide expert in data privacy laws and GDPR from Fitzpatrick and Associates. Thanks for joining me today. So, to kick us off, Sheila, would you mind giving us a quick overview of GDPR and what it is and why it matters?
So GDPR is the biggest overhaul in data protection laws in over 25 years. It's the new EU regulation. It's called the General Data Protection Regulation. It impacts any company anywhere in the world that provides goods and services to an EU resident, processes the data of an EU resident, monitors the behavior of an EU resident, or in any way, shape, or form has access to the personal data of an EU resident. So it's extraterritorial, and it has many more restrictions than we've ever seen in data protection laws in the past. It impacts Asia-Pacific companies because of the extraterritorial nature of the regulation. It means that, again, if you have access to any data of an EU resident, you're going to be impacted by GDPR. If you're a company located in Australia, for instance, or Japan, or the Philippines, or Singapore, and you provide goods and services, or you have any access whatsoever to the personal data of an EU resident, you have to comply with the new regulation. And it means minimizing the amount of data you collect, being extremely transparent about what you're doing with that data, obtaining the consent of the individual in order to process and transfer that data, and it also provides extra rights, more extensive rights to the data subject themselves, right of access, right of erasure, right to destruction, right to opt out of having your data processed.
Thank you, Sheila. Andrew, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I was just going to add into that. As an organisation that operates across Asia Pacific, we're very aware that GDPR is not about operations inside the EU, but it's about operations that affect EU residents. And both as an employer of EU residents, and also no doubt handling a lot of data of EU residents that are now based across the Asia Pacific region, we're taking GDPR very seriously.
Thanks, Andrew. GDPR is one of the most significant changes to data privacy regulations that we've seen for some time. But how does it compare to current Asia-Pacific regulations?
So if you look at GDPR compared to Asia-Pacific regulations, there is in some cases a very vast difference where GDPR is the most restrictive. When you compare it, I'll say for instance, you look at the Australian Privacy Act or the APPs in Australia, which are quite good and quite extensive. However, there's an exemption for employee data within Australia. There is no exemption on any type of personal data under GDPR. The requirements around consent, data minimization, data portability, right to erasure, those don't exist within the Australian legislation. But then if you look at the Japanese Act on the Protection of Personal Information, that is equally as restrictive and directly mirrors the GDPR. As a matter of fact, Japan just obtained their adequacy rating under the EU. So companies are starting to, you know, while they've been looking at GDPR, they haven't been paying attention to all of the increases and enhancements in laws in Asia Pacific, Japan, China, Philippines, Singapore, New Zealand, even in Australia, the new data breach notification regulation that went into effect in February.
And New Zealand's quite strict as well from a data privacy perspective.
New Zealand is quite strict, absolutely. New Zealand originally had the only adequacy rating by the EU, now Japan, and New Zealand's current adequacy rating is certainly in question because it was based on the past EU directive as opposed to the regulation.
Yeah. That's a lot of different regulations that businesses need to adhere to. With the fragmented regulation across markets, is it better for businesses to try and take a global approach? Or should we look to address these regulations on a country-by-country basis?
You know, I get asked the question all the time about what's the best way to approach a global perspective on data privacy, because if you operate in multiple countries, are you going to do a piecemeal approach? Are you going to treat Australia this way? Are you going to treat Japan this way? Philippines this way? Singapore this way? EU this way? US? US you really don't have to worry about. But it's very complicated to start to piecemeal together a privacy program. My preference and my advice to my clients is always to look at a global approach because the laws are changing. GDPR is certainly influencing multiple jurisdictions, and we're starting to see changes. Australia is starting to look at what do they need to do, what does Australia need to do as a country, and what do companies in Australia need to do to entice European business. You're not going to entice European business if you base your privacy protections on the Australian law. So for me personally, in the way I formally believe, and having done this for 35 years, is it's much easier to take a global approach, look at the most restrictive, but within reason, you know, what can you as a company handle, and understand that this is a regulatory requirement compliance issue. It's not a technology issue. Technology will help you, but that's not what's going to solve it. And really develop all of your program around a more restrictive global view.
You know, I'd say at Ascender, we are taking the global view. I think it's important to understand all of the local nuances of data privacy, but trying to run an organization where you have multiple data privacy policies across different regions, especially with the extraterritorial nature of regulations like GDPR, it just becomes too difficult to manage and control.
There have been quite a few reports on how European businesses are finding it difficult themselves to be compliant with GDPR. With this in mind, how prepared do you think Asian businesses are when it comes to being compliant with GDPR?
So it's interesting, that's another question I get asked all the time, is how prepared are Asia Pacific companies in really preparing for GDPR, and the fact that GDPR is already in effect, are they compliant already? There is no company that will ever be 100% compliant with GDPR, and I think that's something that needs to be said right out. It's a risk-based approach to data privacy, and you want to obviously be as compliant as you possibly can. And you really want to look at what your obligations are. Asia-Pacific companies, depending on the jurisdiction they're in and how much interaction they have with Europe, are much more prepared than companies that have minimal interaction or are in jurisdictions that data privacy laws aren't quite as restrictive. It's very new for them, so they're trying to get their arms around the issues. I would say Australia, New Zealand, certainly Singapore, Japan with their adequacy rating, the companies within those jurisdictions are much more prepared than companies within, say, Thailand or Taiwan or even some of the Philippines is certainly getting there. Much more prepared than companies you would see in Canada or even in the U.S. for that matter, because of the nature of some of the privacy laws here. So.
It has also been suggested regional enforcement of GDPR might prove to be quite difficult, particularly outside of Europe. Do you think we'll end up seeing GDPR safe havens or see businesses trying to find ways around GDPR?
I always get asked that question too. Is how can you get around GDPR?
GDPR.
Is there, you know, are there safe havens that are going to be created? How can you really enforce GDPR if you're in Europe and your operations are, you know, in Australia or in Asia Pacific? There are jurisdictions, the data protection authorities around the world are working together. So certainly the ability for the European courts to work with the courts in Australia or the Data Protection Commissioner here in Australia, the OAIC, there's going to be cooperation agreements in place. The EU can also, you know, if you have a website in the EU, even though you have no operations, but you have operations in Australia, the EU authorities can shut down your website, your presence. So they can make it may not be the financial sanction, that might be harder, but your reputational damage, your ability to do business within Europe could be hindered. But I think you need to understand that the data protection authorities aren't trying. They're not going after companies to sanction them. This isn't a revenue generator for them. This is really to get companies to understand that fundamental right to privacy and to really respect the nature of the use of personal data, what you're doing with it, why do you have it, what do you need it for? If you blatantly choose not to comply, then the authorities will go after you and can go after you, and they'll cooperate with courts here.
And, you know, I'd add to that about the enforceability of GDPR, you know, whether that's the right way to think about GDPR. For me, this is a regulatory requirement, but increasingly it's just what our customers, both businesses and consumers, are expecting in how you do business day to day. And increasingly it is becoming just the way you have to do business. And so definitely at Ascender, we're not thinking about GDPR as just a regulation that we have to adhere to, but we're thinking about it as just the new requirements on doing business in the future.
You know, I think that's an important point that you bring up, which is GDPR and overall data privacy compliance globally is becoming a competitive advantage.
Correct.
Because companies that want to do business with a third-party provider, so if I'm a CEO of a company and I want to engage Ascender to handle my global payroll, I'm going to be impressed that Ascender is actually looking at an overall global perspective on privacy and that you take it seriously and that you understand the difference between privacy and security. You're not trying to sell me, you know, compliance in a box. You actually are addressing your obligations. I see that as a positive.
Absolutely.
Traditionally, IT has been the department responsible for data security and data privacy. Now, with GDPR and the fines that can be imposed on executives, it makes it much more of a C-suite affair. What advice do you have for leaders to make sure they are compliant with GDPR?
So the question being, you know, what advice do you have for leaders outside of IT to help them be compliant with GDPR? I think one of the first things Sheila pointed out to us when she started working with a set of sender is the difference between data privacy and data security. And historically, IT departments have been absolutely at the front of the discussions around data security, and no doubt that will continue. But data privacy goes well beyond the idea of how do I store the data securely. It goes to business processes, internal business processes, how I manage my customer relationships, and that absolutely is a C-suite affair. And so what I'd say is, firstly, think through the differences between privacy and security. Differentiate how you are addressing those two linked but separate topics. You know, and for us at Ascender, when I think about privacy, those are elements I'm making sure we have the right policies in place, making sure we have the right training in place so that our staff understand those policies and know how to put them into practice. And treating data privacy really is a continuous improvement exercise that goes well beyond, as I said, just the storage and security of the data.
It sounds like there might be a bit of confusion in the market about what data security and data privacy are. Would you mind giving us a quick definition of the two?
Following on with what Andrew said, you know, my big, probably my the button you can push if you really want to get me upset is to say you have world-class security and therefore you're compliant with privacy laws, because they are fundamentally different, although aligned, as you said. Privacy, I use the analogy of a wheel. You think about a bicycle wheel. Privacy is the wheel. It's the full life cycle of that personal data from the time you collect it to the time you destroy it. It's what data you're collecting, why you're collecting it, do you have a legal right to collect it, who has access to it, how long are you maintaining it, what are you using it for, etc. Security is one extremely important spoke on that wheel. It's the fortress that protects that data from unauthorized access and use. If you're only looking at security, then that wheel's not going to turn, because what you're literally doing is locking down data you're not legally allowed to have to begin with. So privacy is, again, that life cycle of the data, and security is the fortress around that data.
And it's interesting that I think Sheila was telling me in GDPR there are, I might get these numbers wrong, 99 articles in GDPR, and only 9 of them relate to IT tools and technology, yep. Which really talks about how privacy is much more than a IT issue, and much more than just data security. It goes sort of right to the heart of all of your business processes.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what happened when GDPR was first ratified, when it came out in 2016 and companies were preparing for it, you saw so many companies jump on the GDPR bandwagon selling tools and technology to solve what literally is a compliance issue. And so companies went out and invested millions of dollars in technology, not to say that that wasn't a good thing, because down the line that does help, but that wasn't building the foundation of privacy. So many companies, come May 25th, you know, this past May, they found out they weren't compliant. They thought that if they went out and bought encryption tools and, you know, data mapping tools and data classification tools, they'd automatically be compliant. They never built a privacy program.
On that note, in terms of taking the first steps of building a privacy program, what advice would you give a company, and what first steps should they be taking?
So if you're a company, a business that is really starting on the first step of your journey for GDPR or any data privacy compliance program for that matter, you really need to step back first and say, what is the foundation of your privacy program? What is it built on? Do you have solid policies and procedures in place? Have you defined what personal data you absolutely have to have in order to manage the relationships you're trying to manage or provide the services you're trying to provide? So it starts with the data. What are you doing with that data? Who did you get it from? How did you get it? Did you have the legal right to give it? Do you have the consent of the individual? And then from there, you build on that. You build on your policies, your procedures, your privacy notifications, your contractual agreements. So if you outsourced any third party, so in the case of a sender, when your customers are engaging you, you want to make sure there's a data privacy agreement in place that talks about what services you're providing, what data you need, who in your organization is going to have access to that data, where it's going to be stored, how long you're going to maintain it, what it's going to be used for, et cetera. So you build, I use the analogy of a house, build the ground floor first, which is the foundation, the first floor are all the policies, the procedures, the contractual agreements, the documentation. And then when you get to the second floor, you start looking at the tools and technology.
One other thing I'd add to that is around that first step to take as you going down your privacy journey. For me, it's really about elevating the discussion around data privacy and data security inside the organization.
Yeah.
It's no longer enough to have data privacy be a topic that your legal team, say, with your IT team, are trying to solve independent of the rest of the organization. And therefore, it absolutely has to be a conversation that the CEO and the executive team are having very regularly to ensure that it is getting the attention it requires.
Under GDPR, personal data includes that of employees. That means HR and payroll need to know and understand the new data privacy regulations and how they apply to employees. As such, what advice can you give HR and payroll teams to get them up to speed with GDPR?
Great question. So the question is, what advice can you give HR and payroll teams to get up to speed with GDPR? First of all, is to really understand, well, I guess I take a step back. Obviously, someone in the organization, whether it's a legal department or the privacy officer, if there is one, needs to educate the entire organization, because the organization, as Andrew said, has to be made aware of this. Then they need to start with HR and payroll. What services are you trying to provide? What data do you need in order to provide those services? So it's all about, what do you absolutely have to have in order to manage the employment relationship, to onboard people, to give them compensation and benefit plans and development plans and all of the data that's absolutely required to generate payroll. What's the absolute have to have versus the nice to have? And under GDPR, it's all about the must haves, not the nice to haves. And if you can justify the data, then you're already one step forward in complying with GDPR and being able to address your obligations. So it's really very simply understanding your business and what data drives that business and how you treat that data. Also understand what jurisdictions you operate in. So if your headquarters are in Australia, but you're a multinational company like Ascender, you want to understand not only where your employee data is, but where do you also have contractors that might be, you know, workers, because all workers are included under GDPR, and understanding the environment and the services that they provide.
Yeah, I don't have too much more to add to that other than really this idea of GDPR impacting employees goes to the heart of the importance of data privacy, which is that, again, it's not just about how do I use my customers' data, but it's what responsibility do I have as an organization to accurately and adequately collect, store, manage, and use data of the individuals who I'm employing as much as the individuals with whom I'm servicing as well.
GDPR is obviously one of the biggest changes to data privacy to date. Do we expect other countries to follow suit with more regulations being implemented moving forward?
Obviously, GDPR is what everyone's talking about today as being the most restrictive regulation, certainly the one that's caught everyone's attention for the last 2 years. But do we see more and more regulations coming down? And Andrew and I were just having a conversation about that. Absolutely, we are seeing a ripple effect with GDPR throughout the world. And to be honest, the most restrictive data privacy law in the world is not in Europe. It's in South Korea. Also, within the last, several weeks, Japan, they implemented their Act on the Protection of Personal Information last year, and in the end of July of this year, they received an adequacy rating from the EU, meaning the Act on the Protection of Personal Data equals the requirements in GDPR. China implemented their cybersecurity law last year, and in May of this year, implemented their new data protection regulation that far exceeds the requirements under GDPR. So even though everyone's been paying attention to GDPR and there's been this heads down, we have to be compliant, they've sort of been ignoring what's going on in the rest of the world. So we're going to see more and more changes over the next several years.
With Ascender operating across multiple markets, how do you, Andrew, keep up to date with all the changing regulations?
It's a big investment of time and money to keep up to speed. And we do a number of things. You know, for us, having a centralized compliance department who are responsible with tracking, understanding, and updating the business with the changing landscape, not just with data privacy, but all the legislation that impacts us, is really important. And then we're increasingly putting a lot of investment around training our staff off the back of the work that our compliance team does. Engaging individuals like Sheila is also an important step, acknowledging that we don't internally have all the answers, and at times we do need to get that support to help understand the evolving landscape.
Finally, what are your key takeaways for our listeners today?
One of the key takeaways I always tell organizations is that you don't need to be afraid of these laws. You need to embrace them. And really, you can turn this into a competitive advantage, whether it's a competitive advantage to attract customers or whether it's a competitive advantage to attract the best talent in your employee base is really critical. Don't run from them. Embrace them. And they're not as scary as they seem. As I mentioned, the data protection authorities are not out to get you. But really, it's common sense. I look at it as common sense. You would never abuse anyone's personal data personally, so why would you do it professionally?
And I'd agree. Data privacy is both about meeting a set of regulations, but increasingly it's about meeting the expectations of our customers. And those expectations arguably are going to increase faster than, even faster than the regulation itself. And so I'd say data privacy has to become a topic that is ongoing in an organization, and we need to treat it the same way we would treat any other continuous improvement initiative.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Sheila and Andrew. I think you've given us a lot to think about as we look to ensure we are compliant against the coming raft of data privacy regulations. And to our listeners, thanks for taking the time to join us today. I hope you found it helpful. If you'd like any further information on how Ascender can help you, your HR and payroll teams be compliant with regulations in your market, get in touch or go to www.ascenderhcm.com. Thank you very much and goodbye from us here at Ascender.